Welcome to City Professional English Podcasts, podcast number 22, Receiving a Telephone Call. More people worry about receiving a telephone call more than making one, and it's obvious why they feel this way. Little time to prepare, sudden demand upon their English skills, other demands upon their time in that moment, etc. This podcast follows on from Staying in Control podcast on making telephone calls and will give guidance on how to approach a received call, remaining professional and effective, even when using those all-important survival phrases. These survival phrases are commonly taught, but unfortunately, what is not taught is how to remain effective and professional even while using them. This podcast addresses this terrible defect. I hope you enjoy this podcast and find it useful. I'm often surprised when I speak to clients about which particular professional skill they find most nerve-wracking. Usually I think they were going to say presenting or negotiating, and often they do. However, the vast majority of people who work in companies are not often asked to negotiate or to do a presentation for the company. But almost everyone is asked to make telephone calls. And like I said with the Staying in Control podcast of a few months back, where I looked at how to make a telephone call, I am surprised at the lack of training that is given on this particular business skill. One of the reasons why there's a lack of training is because employers believe that you can make a telephone call. And of course you can, because in your private life, you are able to make a telephone call. But like many private life skills, telephoning, emailing, bringing those skills into the professional world causes some difficulties. So when my clients say to me, "Mark, receiving a telephone call is something which I really don't like." You know, they hear their telephone ring, they see the number coming up, and it's a foreign number. They know they are going to be asked to speak in English, and they have a great deal of fear about this. So that's why I want to address this particular issue today. And I have 3 points. 1. Why receiving calls is thought to be more difficult. 2. The 5 stages you are in control, which, if you remember, are the same as what I did with the Making a Call podcast. And then lastly, the transition from small talk or from professional conversation to business. So why is receiving a telephone call thought to be more difficult? The main reason is the receiver believes they are not in control, that they are always running behind the other person. And the reason for this lies in how they feel about their English language competence. It's more of a mindset than what is actually occurring. Because the structure of receiving a telephone call is the mirror image to making a telephone call. By definition, if I call John, I'm making a call, he's receiving a call, they're the mirror image of each other. So the fear over receiving a call has a lot to do with your current mindset. It's a lot to do with your own confidence about your language skills. Because the people who have a tendency to throw themselves into a language are the people who don't seem to have so much of an issue with telephoning. Certainly for me, when I have made and received telephone calls in Italian, I never found them so particularly difficult, or at least not as difficult as everyone said they were going to be. You know, the common reasons of not having the body language, not knowing what the person's going to ask, not knowing where the conversation's going to go. Those things didn't seem to be a huge problem for me, and I think the reason for it is, well, actually there are three reasons for it. One, I have the sort of character where I just rush into things, but I sort of throw myself into doing it. And my objective is always to communicate my ideas rather than having a perfect second language skill. And that is something which I hope that all the people out there who are training in their English language to be used in the professional world remember. It is far more important for you to dedicate your time to demonstrating your professionality, your professionalism, sorry, than it is perfecting your English. I know you have to have a certain competence in English to be able to communicate, but once you get to B1 level, you can do any of the competences or professional competences that you need to do. And at that point, it becomes far more important demonstrating the professionalism that you have in your own mother tongue. And too many people try to speak perfectly in a second language, even though in their own mother tongue, they don't often speak perfectly. So I think that's one of the reasons why I never found telephoning so particularly difficult in my second language. The other reason is because I always used a flowchart. The flowchart is something which I'm going to do a podcast on in the very near future. And the third reason was that I tried as much as I could to develop relationships with the people who were calling me. Obviously, the better relationship you have with someone, the less onerous the telephone call is going to be. You know, they will be on your side. They will be looking to help you and not looking to hinder you. And if you begin a telephone call feeling very nervous, feeling very apprehensive, because you've received this telephone call, you're going to transmit that to the other person, and it's going to be difficult for you to build relationships with people. The question that the clients ask me more than anything else is, what are the survival phrases? What do I do if I'm in trouble? And survival expressions, survival phrases, to help you when you're in trouble in a telephone call situation, are commonly taught by all the schools of English. And so I'm going to give three of them, and then I'm going to add something to them. Something which is very, very crucial for your career, for your advancement in your company, for your level of professionalism. And that part is not often discussed, unfortunately. And it sort of holds non-mother tongue English speakers back because they haven't been taught how to do this. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this podcast, to address that, to put you on the same level as the mother tongue English speakers in terms of being effective and being professional. So the first phrase, simply, may I call you back in 30 minutes? Or could I call you back in 30 minutes? Or could I call you back this afternoon? Or could I call you back tomorrow morning? Or could I call you back in 10 minutes? The other one is, could you send me an email? This is obvious why it will help you. If you're not understanding the conversation very well, the person can write an email. You'll have time to look at it, to consider it, and then to reply. Both those two expressions, those first two expressions, I'm sure you already know. But let's look at the important part here. Let's look at the part of adding the effectiveness and the professionalism. When you say to someone, could I call you back in 30 minutes? You must respect that commitment to call them back. This is so important on two levels. Firstly, it's just professional to do it. And secondly, if you don't call the person back when you say you're going to call them, the next time they call you and you really are very, very busy and you asked if they could call you back again in 30 minutes, they are going to say no. They're going to think, well, look, you know, sorry, but the last time you asked me that, you never called me back. So you must respect your commitment, whether it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, this afternoon, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., whatever you say, you must respect it. Something which I do is that if I say to someone, could I call you back in an hour? Immediately after the telephone call, I put into my Microsoft Outlook an alert for 50 minutes time, so as to give me 10 minutes to prepare for the telephone call that I need to make. I do that because then it ensures that I respect the commitment I've made. And this is particularly important if you happen to be a manager or indeed a leader. There's a lot of training on being a leader and leadership. But one of the most important parts of it is that you have to respect your commitments to people. And even if those commitments are small commitments, you have to respect your big commitments and you have to respect the small ones. If you say to someone who works for you, who reports to you, one of your directs, could I call you back in 30 minutes? And they say yes, and they're almost certainly going to say yes because you are their boss. If you don't call them back in 30 minutes' time, you are giving the impression that they're not particularly important in comparison to you. You're not being a leader. So the small things are just as important as the big commitments. The second phrase we spoke about was, could you send me an email? It's fine, very professional. But we need to add something to that. What do you think we need to add to it? You've called me. You want some information from me, some data. And I say to you, could you send me an email? How do you feel when I say to you, could you send me an email? What, therefore, would you want to hear? I think you'd like to hear this. Could you send me an email and I will reply to you this afternoon? Could you send me an email and I will reply to you in an hour? You're giving a commitment. Just asking someone to send you an email is not giving any commitment at all. In fact, it's asking that person to do something for you and you're doing nothing for them. It's not give and take. So you must add this time, this expiry, and you must respect it. Those are the two things, those are only two survival phrases you really need when you're on a received telephone call and you're having difficulties understanding what's going on, or you're very busy, you're distracted. Those are the only two phrases you need, but please add the second part to the second phrase. So, could you send me an email and I will reply to you this afternoon? And in the first one, could I call you back in 30 minutes? Respect it. I have these two phrases on my desk, written in Italian, obviously. And I use them often. And as long as you respect them, the commitment you give to people, people don't mind if you use them often. The last survival expression you need is one where you ask the person to speak a little slower. Please, could you speak a little slower? Very easy, very simple. what happens when you do this is the person usually slows down for all of about 20 seconds. And then they go back to their natural speed again. It's not because they're being difficult. It's not because they're being unfriendly. It's just a natural thing to do. It's one of the reasons why, if you remember in the podcast on powerful public speaking, I used the technique of having a little post-it on your computer at the presentation that has the word slow on it. It slows up your speech, but very quickly you will go back to your normal speed again, so you have the benefit of a change in the pace of your English, which makes it more interesting for the audience. This is the other side of the coin. If you ask someone to speak a little slow on the telephone, they will do it, but they won't do it for very long. Do not be afraid of asking them again to speak a little slower. And if you have to ask them a third time, do it. The expression, please could you speak a little slower? Thank you. It's polite, it's professional. Often people say to me that they feel uncomfortable in doing this, as if it's some detrimental indication of their English level. My response to that is, well, okay, fine, I can understand that. But what's worse? What's more detrimental? If you get to the end of the telephone call, and the telephone call finishes, no thanks, bye, and you sit there and you think, bloody hell, what do I have to do? I've no idea. And at that point, you either completely ignore the telephone call, which is highly professional, highly unprofessional, or you have to call the person back to ask them. And how are you going to feel then? So I know repeatedly asking someone to slow down is not a very pleasant situation to be in, but it is better than getting to the end of the telephone call and not understanding what's happened. Don't be afraid to ask someone to repeat. Let's look at the five stages now of a received telephone call. And as I do this, the people who have premium content who will be looking at the presentation slide will notice that the five stages are extremely similar to the five stages of making a telephone call that we spoke about in Staying in Control. And this is what I was saying before, it's the mirror image. And a lot of it is the same. The first part is greet and then identify yourself, which is exactly the same as when you're making a call. So you pick up the phone, you say good morning, pick up the phone, you say hello. This is Mark. Or this is Mark Olding. Some people prefer to say Mark Olding speaking. And that's fine. I don't care what you use. I would suggest that you pick one and stick to it. As I've mentioned before, giving yourself too many language options makes it more difficult when you're in the moment where you have to use the language to remember exactly which option is correct. I tend to use, good morning, this is Mark Olding. But whichever one you prefer, you choose and stick to it. The second part, the caller will ask to speak to you or to someone else, which is the mirror image of when you're making a call, when you ask to speak to someone. And that's easy to reply to. Yes, hello, or I'm afraid he's not here at the moment. Could I help? A lot of people enjoy doing teamwork exercises. A lot of money is spent on that. But this is an example of those little things you can do which really help teamwork. You add could I help? So your telephone goes, you pick it up, someone asks to speak to somebody else, your colleague who normally sits next to you, they're at lunch. You say, I'm afraid she's not here at the moment, she's at lunch. Could I help? You add that. The person on the other end of the telephone will feel very happy that you've done that. Little thing, Liz, could I help? I know you're opening yourself up to being asked a question that you don't know the answer to, but then you can just say, I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that. I'll ask my colleague to call you back when they return from lunch. You see, it's better to offer to the caller some help than to leave them with nothing. When I call people, call institutions, and this happens to me, and they say, oh, that person's out at the moment, and that's it, it requires me to say, may I leave a message? And it is completely wrong that a caller has to ask to do that. So we're talking about the second stage. The third stage is you start with some small talk, some professional conversation talk, exactly the same as when you're making a call. The default option is, how are you? If you know the person a little bit better, you can ask them other subjects. And we had done some discussions on professional conversation skills. We'll do some more in the future, but that's where you use it. The fourth part, just like in when making a call, is the meat of the telephone call. It's the part where they explain the purpose of their call. And they're just going to use the same expressions that you would have used. I'm calling about X. I'm calling about Y. The last part, the conclusion to the telephone call, is very important. It's very important because here is where you can end the telephone call and confirm action points. The example I've got on the slide, which is the same example as I used for making a call, is, so I will organize the meeting for tomorrow. Using the lovely who, what, when, the who is I, the what is organize the meeting, and the when is tomorrow. If you can remember to add this conclusion section at the end of every telephone call, it avoids unnecessary misunderstandings. It's like a check at the end of every telephone call to know what everyone has committed to do. So looking at these five stages, they're very similar to when you make a call. The only part that's particularly different is the fourth part, which is the meat of the telephone call. And that's always going to be different whether you're making or whether you're receiving it. So receiving a telephone call is very similar. And if you have in your mind this set greeting, identifying yourself, and what you say if the person asks to speak to somebody else, if you have that set on your computer, by the time you get to the third stage, which is the small talk, your English confidence will be back. You will have warmed up, as we say. I promise you, they're the mirror image. So if you're comfortable with making a call, there's no reason why you can't be comfortable with receiving one. And if you think this way, you're not going to be so frightened of picking up the telephone call. You're not going to be looking at that number that's flashing and wondering how many times they're going to ring before you can put it down. One thing I do want to add here, though, which is a little bit different from making a call, is how to transition from small talk or conversation to business. In making a call, we used the technique of saying the person's name plus I was calling about whatever. But when you're receiving the call, you can't, of course, use that expression because you were not calling them. When I ask my clients what this particular expression could be, 99.9 times out of 100, they give me the expression. This is not a complicated expression. And you are probably, right now, thinking in your head what it could be. It is, how may I help you? Or how can I help you? As easy as that. Very simple expression. Everyone is very comfortable with it. And it will move from chatting to business. Try and remember not to force this transition. Even if the person's talking a bit longer than you would like, try not to force it. Because the section beforehand, which is the small talk, the professional conversation, is the part where you're building relationships, is the part where you're investing for the future. So don't rush it. Don't rush the transition. A few more minutes here or there make no great difference in the present, but could make a very big difference in the future. So that's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for dedicating this time to See Professional English and my podcasts. Please, as I always say, try to use some of the things we've mentioned. If you don't, this just becomes half an hour of corporate or personal entertainment, and I am not an entertainer. Thank you for listening. Remember, in particular, if you take one thing away from this particular podcast, remember when you use those survival phrases to add in the extra part to be effective and professional. If you go through your career always respecting the commitments that you make, you will be highly effective, highly professional. You will have a lot of people who will want to work with you, and a lot of good people who will want to work with you. And your working life will be a lot happier. So if you take one thing away from this podcast, please remember that. Thank you. Great that you're listening to me. I really appreciate it. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Goodbye.